Matthew chapter 6. Again, I'm teaching on the subject today, the kingdom of God, and we began to get in this little area last week about heaven on earth. And let's begin in verse 8 of Matthew chapter 6. It says, "Therefore, do not be like them." I still hear pages turning. Verse 8. It says, "Therefore, do not be like them." Now, when he says do not be like them, he's talking about don't be like the world. Don't be like the heathen. Don't be like an unbeliever. You're believers. How many believers do I have in here? Amen. Okay, so these are instructions for believers. He says, "Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask." A-S-K. Before you ask Him. Now, for all of our Greek scholars in here, you want to write something down. The word ask, it's a very unique word. It comes from the Greek word atio, A-T-I-E-O. But it means to beg. It means to call for. It means to crave. It means to desire. It means to require. And so, now this is a little bit different than the way most of us have understanding of things in God. He said, now let me read it again. He said, "Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask, or before you demand, or before you require of Him." But it's important, because I'm going to tell you something. I didn't know this when I first became a Christian. I didn't know that it was the responsibility of God, my Father, to provide and to meet every need that I have. Now, maybe you knew that, but I had to get some teaching and I had to get some understanding to come to a place in my Christian life that it is God's responsibility as my Heavenly Father to meet every need that I have. Every need. Spiritually, physically, mentally. You know why? Because God is a good God. God is a God who is not like an earthly father, but a Father who loves us unconditionally. And how much more will your Heavenly Father give to those that ask of Him? And so I got a revelation a long time ago, but it took a while to get the revelation of Philippians 4:17. "But my God shall supply all of my need according to" what? "His riches and glory." So I found out that my Heavenly Father, He takes it upon Himself as His responsibility to take care of me. Now, that should come to you as a great revelation, because now you can rest in God, because in heaven, or in the kingdom of heaven, there is no shortage. God is not going to run out. God, He owns everything. He owns all the cattle, remember, on 1,000 hills. So it's not like earth where shortages are created. And because of the supply side and then the demand side, the prices go up on everything. God said, "I don't change." He said, "I am the same yesterday, today, and forever." But if you can just get this much this morning, and there's a whole lot more here that's very important that you need to get, but that God is responsible to supply and to meet every need that you have. Amen. Does anybody have any need? Well, now here's the way we're to pray, okay? Now look at this. He says, "In this manner, therefore, pray: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Now, this is not a religious prayer, as some people make it a religious prayer. This is praying what the will of God is. God intended for heaven to be a copy, for earth to be a copy of heaven. Heaven is supposed to be demonstrated through you and I in this earth. Now, we don't have time to go to all the scriptures, but the Apostle Paul called us in 1 Corinthians, he called us ambassadors for Jesus Christ. Now, how many know that an ambassador is not from that country that he's in, but he's a representative from the country that he represents? That's why the Bible says that we're in the world, but we're no longer of this world. We operate on a higher level. We operate on a different plane. It's called the kingdom of heaven. And we are ambassadors. Are what God's plan and what God's intention is that the world sees heaven, the way that heaven operates, the way that heaven has no shortage. Heaven is not sick. Heaven is not depressed. Come on, somebody. Heaven is not running out of something. This is supposed to be manifested through the people of God. The people that call themselves Christians are the people who are believers. Amen. So we see that right away. Now come on down to verse 19. It says, do not lay up for yourselves treasure on earth. Now there's a lot in this, because he's going to begin to talk about material things. And people sometimes get confused about material things, that we're not supposed to have them. No, that's not what God says. He just wants you to know where the priority is. He says, do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. Because how many of you know that anything that is material is eventually going to deteriorate? It's eventually going to either rot or rust or decay, or even, you know, people will break in and they will steal from you. Okay? So he says, but lay up. Now look at the next verse. But lay up for yourself where? Treasures in heaven. So he's talking about a material thing and a material place, and he's talking about a spiritual place, or he's talking about spiritual things. Now he's teaching us, Jesus here is teaching us where our real treasure needs to be. And there's a purpose and there's a reason for it. He said, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither what? Moth nor rust destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. There is no thief that's going to break into heaven. There is no moth, there is no bug, there's no creature. There's no rust. There is nothing up there that is going to corrode or fade or disintegrate or resolve, or I should say dissolve in heaven. Now, it's important that we see that. He said, don't lay it up here where it can dissolve, where it can disintegrate, but lay it up there where it cannot be broken into. Do you see that? All right, for, look at verse 21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So he's talking about something here, and he gets in, you cannot serve two masters. Now we've already discovered, and I went over this a little bit last week, that most of us are trained in the world system, because that's the system that we're in. That's the system that we're accustomed to operating in. And so, consequently, when somebody says there's a shortage, well, we believe what they say. But we are not of this world, and there is no shortage of the place that we represent. Now, the world creates shortages so they can charge more for it. But how many know there is no shortage in God? Amen. There is no short supply. God is always adding. Come on. God is always multiplying. You know, I got up this morning and I had to shave. Now this is real deep. But I had to shave. And I shaved yesterday. You know why I had to shave? Because the hair was growing again. That's real deep, isn't it? But see, I believe that's just a way of God showing us that he is able, as long as you're alive, to keep things growing. Amen. Now, there's areas you don't want to grow. But how many know if you're alive and you keep eating, you're going to grow? It's just like your fingernails. You can cut them this week, but how many know next week they're going to probably need cutting again? Are you with me? It's just God's way of demonstrating that His supply, see, is not going to run out. As long as you're alive, your fingernails are going to grow. In fact, they grow a little while after you're dead. Are you with me? Okay, so God manifests through you and I, and we're supposed to carry this same kind of attitude that we come from a place where there is no shortage. We're not operating on the world system that creates these shortages so they can have a demand that requires more to get it. God operates on the other spectrum. He operates the other way. Instead of supply and demand, in God's kingdom, it's demand and He supplies. Amen. I said, you demand and He supplies. You ask and He supplies. He said, if we ask anything in His name, are you with me? All right, now look at verse 30. If you're here, say amen. Amen. It says, now if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Now look what happens here, because God wants to show us that He will supply everything that His child needs. God is not going to run out, and we know that He's not a respecter of persons. He don't do something for one person that He won't do for another person. But every person learns how to receive from God. How do we receive from God? Well, we receive from God by being a person of faith. Because faith is what appropriates or brings these blessings to us. But again, we have been trained to use common sense. We have been trained in the system of this world so much indoctrinated that we forget whose kingdom we belong to. Amen. And if we're not careful, we'll bring ourselves back down to operating in this system called the world. And I'm going to tell you something. I'll tell you what Jesus said. He said, you can't serve two masters. So one master is the system of the world, and the other master is the kingdom of heaven. Now, we've got to make a choice, but I'm telling you, when you first start doing these things, they sound a little weird. I remember when I first started talking to things, people look at you funny because they think you're weird. You know, if your car doesn't start and you get out and you point your finger at it and say, in the name of Jesus, I command you to start. Now, you got to say it.
That's right.
And I remember the first time that happened, I'm looking around to see if anybody's looking. Because it looks funny when you first begin to come in to how faith operates and how faith talks. Because faith duplicates what God does.
Amen.
Jesus, if you remember, went by a fig tree and He cursed it. Come on, somebody. And I'm sure that when people saw Him talking to a tree, it'd be just like somebody, you know, see me talking to a tree out there, and they knew who I was, but they didn't know what I stood for. They would probably call 911 and have me committed. Because it looks funny. Are you with me? And even Jesus, if you read the account in Mark chapter 3, even His own relatives and His family wanted to commit Him because they thought He was crazy. All I'm telling you is that you begin to talk a different talk. You begin to walk a different walk. And what the world looks at as crazy, you look at it as faith, and you are saying and you're doing what God says, because we make a transition of not operating anymore by logical thinking or our minds trying to reason through natural means this stuff of God. Because the natural mind cannot figure out God. That's why there's so much confusion. That's why there's so many denominations. That's why people don't know what to do. But when you begin to get into the Word of God and the Holy Spirit begins to reveal to you and says to you, all things are yours. All things belong to you. And all things come from God. And everything that I have been given, I have had to receive. Well, who did I receive it from? I received it from God. And so when we learn that God speaks to these things, and God's the one that calls things that be not as though they were, then I become what I am and who I am and who I belong to. Now, it looks funny, but that's what he's telling us. He said, now look, you can lay up your treasure. Go back and read it one more time. In verse 19, he says, don't lay up the treasure where moth and rust and thieves come in to corrupt and steal. Now I'm saying this to you because you are geared to think shortage instead of to think kingdom of God. I remember when gas started going up, and probably some of you are like this. You put $2.50 worth of gas in, and it won't even get you to tomorrow. Just go ahead and fill it up. I had to catch myself about a year ago when gas started going up because I had a figure set in my mind. And, you know, and you start putting gas in there, and I said, woo, man, it was going over the figure I had set in my mind, and I would cut it off, you know, about $50 or whatever it was to fill that thing up, and I just let it go. And the Spirit of God says, you're letting a spirit of poverty come upon you. And I got a hold of that thing right away, and yeah, fill it up. Come on, everybody say, fill it up. Don't let that spirit come on you, because in God there's no shortage. God is your Father, and God will meet every need you have according to your riches and glory. But look. It has everything to do with the way that we think. Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Okay? So what he's telling us here, that there is, and we just got into this a little bit last week. What he's telling us is that there is a heavenly account that you and I open up when we become born again. God opens up an account for us in heaven, this place where we are from, even though we're here in this earth. Now, we get to make a choice of where we're going to put deposits in. Now, again, follow me here. God never intended, and this is where a lot of you are, God never intended for you to live by your paycheck. Thank you for all that enthusiasm. God, see, that's where we get in bondage, because we start looking at things as, can we afford this? Instead of looking at kingdom values and the kingdom plan and the fact that in God there is no shortage. But if we're looking at things based on whatever our paycheck says, then we have already put a limit on God. We have already come back into the low life instead of the high life. Because let me tell you something. God, let me tell you again. God never intended for His child, His man, His woman, to live by their paycheck. He intended for you to live by what you could believe for. Do I need to say that again? God never intended for you to be strapped to the system of this world. You have a higher level. You belong to a higher power. You belong to a God who said there is no shortage. He owns everything, and everything He has can be received from Him. But this is different. And I know this is shocking when you preach like this, because there's people that are, I don't get it. Well, you got to unhook from the system. Amen. You got to unhook from the natural mind. You got to unhook from the way that you've been taught to deal with life and how you deal in life and so on and so forth. But you are now part of what God's system says, and what God says you can have is what you can have, and what God says you can do is what you can do. But it's going to look funny at first when you start walking in this realm. It's going to look weird to the world, but you're not trying to influence. In fact, let me say it this way. You're not trying to let the world influence you. You're trying to influence them. You're supposed to be showing them what heaven is all about. And I can assure you the angel don't get out and put $2.50 worth of gas in his wings. Are you with me? But it looks strange. You see, but what happened? Whenever you need something, God has plenty. In fact, one of his names is abundance. So not only does he have plenty, he has more than enough. If you need joy, hey, the kingdom of heaven is overflowing with joy. In fact, the Bible says the joy of the Lord will be your what? Joy don't come from a bottle of whiskey or tequila. Come on, joy don't smoke, you know, from a reefer or, you know, joint. Joy comes from the Lord. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Well, if you need peace, how many know heaven is overflowing with peace? Because he wants to give you peace that what? Will guard your heart and your mind. He wants peace to cause a calm to the storms of life that you're in. What about health? Well, heaven is healthy. The Bible says that his word is a medicine, a joyful, a happy, a heart, laughter. It's medicine. Come on, somebody. What about deliverance? Well, what about deliverance? See, God has deliverance, whatever you need. He was there when those Hebrew children went into the fiery furnace. What happened? They said, well, we're not going to bow to you, Nebuchadnezzar. We're not going to bow to your decree. We're going to serve our God. And they said, well, what if he doesn't? He said, well, if he doesn't, we're going to serve him anyway. That was their attitude. That was their faith. That was their confession that he was able to deliver us. And you know what? When they put him in the furnace, what happened? The fourth man showed up. There was only three put in, but when they looked, there was a fourth man. The fourth man was furnished by the Word of God. The Word of God was the fourth man. So we've got to come back to this thing. It looks foolish to the natural mind. I think about when, you know, talk about protection. I mentioned a couple of weeks ago that we need the angels protecting us. When Elisha and Gehazi were on that mountain rim, remember? And they were surrounded by the Syrian army. And Elisha looked out there and said, don't worry, Gehazi, there's more that be with us than there are with them. Gehazi said, 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 1, 2, 4,000, 5,000, 6,000, 1, 2. Are you crazy? See, Elisha kept his confession. There's more that be with us than there are with them. How many know the Lord delivered him? See, we've got to speak what God says. We've got to act on what God says. We can't just be hearers of the word, but we got to be doers of the word. See, it looks foolish for God to take somebody like you and make you usable in the kingdom. It looks foolish for God to take somebody that was on drugs or all strung out and God to change them, to heal them, and make them a preacher. Are you here? Or some lady that sold her body as a prostitute and deliver her and make her an evangelist. It looks crazy to the world because they're trying to figure out if you deserve it or not. Listen, it isn't about what you deserve. It's what he done for you. And because of what he done, you can receive what he gives by grace. Somebody say hallelujah. Okay. So, now I'm not saying a person's not supposed to work, okay? You're not supposed to be lazy. But you are not working for a living. You say, Pastor, this is really strange. Well, get saved. And get your mind renewed to the Word of God. You're not working for a living. You're working for a giving. All you need is a seed. Now, if you believe this stuff, all you need is a seed. Amen. Well, we've learned now. Now, listen, because the whole kingdom of God, now this has to come as another dynamic revelation to you. But Jesus taught it. He said the whole kingdom works like a seed.
That's right.
He said if you had faith the size of a little tiny, teeny, weeny mustard seed, he said you could put that into the ground and it will grow up and it will become greater than all the others. Well, all you need is a seed. Now, if I have, now listen to me. I have a place already established. It's called a heavenly account. Every time I'm led of the Lord to give, I am laying up treasure in my account.
Amen.
Now it's important that you see this because a lot of people don't understand what eternal life is. They think eternal life is what you get once you die and you go to heaven. But eternal life, now listen to me, is not what you get when you die and you go to heaven. Eternal life is what you got when you received Jesus as the Lord of your life. You got the Zoe. Hello. You got eternal life already on the inside of you. And so every answer, remember, you need for life, it's already there. Every solution, it's already there. Now we've taught these things, but you've got to come back. I'm going to preach this till you get it. Because it's already residing in you, and you can live in this earth as you will live in heaven. If you know how to make withdrawals from your account. Now, read this one more time. Verse 19 says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourself what? Treasures in heaven. So, here's what it's telling us. It says that let heaven be your treasury because that's where the eternal life gains you access to your heavenly account.
Amen.
Now, I'm going slow on this part because I want you to get it. You are to lay up, put your treasure in your heavenly account. The fact that you have eternal life grants you access to this heavenly account. That's why you don't operate by the world system. That's why you don't operate on the world's display of shortages or whatever. Because the stock market can go up, it can go down. There can be floods, there can be hurricanes, there can be economic changes, there can be weather patterns, but the kingdom of God is stable. God rules there. God reigns there. And He's the God, remember, that changeth not. Now, it's important that you understand that God will supply regardless of what's going on in this earth system. If you're getting that, say amen. Now, let me show it to you quickly out of the Word of God. John chapter 12. See, you're not subject. Here's what I want you to get. You're not subject to what happens in the world. Your heavenly account is not subject to what goes on. That's a place where thieves and moth and rust will not corrupt and steal. Now, John chapter 12. If you have it, say, I have it. All right, let's read in verse 1. Then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus was, who had been laid, whom he had raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. Remember Lazarus, the one that died and Jesus raised. Now look at this, verse 3. And Mary took a pound of a very costly oil. My reference here in the cross reference says it was a year's worth of wages. It was a very costly perfume, a spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. But one of his disciples, Judas, everybody say Judas, Simon's son, who would betray him, and said, why, look at verse 5, why was this fragrance oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? Now here's Judas trying to tell Jesus how to run his ministry. Can you imagine? Verse 6 says, then he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. Do you see that? And had the money box. If you read in King James, it says he had the bag. Now, let's just stop a minute. What is the money bag for? What is the money box for? Well, a place to put money. And the Bible says that Judas was in charge of the money box. Or in other words, Judas was the treasurer of the group. Now, how many know you don't have a treasurer unless you have a treasury? How many of you have a treasurer? Well, Jesus and his ministry had a treasurer and a treasury. It's where they kept the money. Now, look what it says. That Judas was a thief. He had the money box, or he had the control of the money box, and he used to take what was put in it. He was a thief. Now, what did we just learn? Now, we know that Jesus fed the poor. We know he fed the multitude that were hungry. We know that he met physical needs in the ministry. Come on, somebody, are you listening to me? We know that he had a treasury. We know that he had money that he would use. I'm sure they had would buy groceries or whatever they needed to sustain the group that followed him. But the point is that somebody was stealing out of the treasury, but the fact that they were stealing did not affect his ability to give, because his source was not in his treasury, but his source was in God. Because he had been laying up every time he gave, he was giving into his heavenly account. And his heavenly account is a place where moth and rust and thieves cannot break in and steal. The point is that in the earth it was being stolen, it was being taken by thieves, but in the heavenly account realm there was still more than enough to supply and to meet the need of the ministry. Now, look at Mark chapter 10. See, we have to learn this principle, because this is the way that we build up our heavenly account. Now, some of you have not learned this principle, and so you struggle financially. We know that there's a portion that we give to God, but all we need is seed. When we learn that we make a living really to have seed, not to live on. So I just don't get that at all. Well, it's because you're thinking carnally. I've tried to teach you and tell you, faith does not operate through senses. Common sense operates through senses. Faith is not common sense. What looks foolish to the world is very, very, very real in God's kingdom. God is on a different plane. God is in a different system. So we've got to quit thinking carnally. That's why you come to church, so you can get your mind renewed. Because if you're operating carnally, you're in the flesh. And if you're in the flesh, listen, you're reaping death and destruction. You can't appropriate faith from the flesh. It has to be appropriated through the spiritual realm. What I'm teaching you and what I'm talking to you today is spiritual things, okay? We're not talking about, again, so many people think that when they get to heaven. No, no, no. Heaven, right now, eternal life is in the inside of you. It's on the inside of you. Okay? So we have to understand, as long as I'm a carnal Christian, thinking carnally, I'm not going to appropriate or operate in these principles of faith.
Amen.
Or these principles of making withdrawal from my heavenly account.
Right.
What you have to understand is, and again, because you can't see it, that's the reason some of you don't use your angels.
Amen.
Because you don't see them. So you don't think of them. You're not aware of them. You're not conscious of them. Just like you're not aware every time you give. Every time you bring an offering up here, every time you give to the poor, every time you give to the needy, every time you give to the children's church, every time you give to the building fund, you are making a deposit in your heavenly account.
Right.
And God is not a cheater.
Right.
You put something in an earthly account, you get an interest on it. Hey, it grows. I mean, if you're putting an investment somewhere and it's not making money, what do? You take it out and you put it somewhere else. God is not a cheater. God is going to pay on the investment that is sown. But we can't appropriate this as long as we're carnal-minded, because carnally-minded is enmity or an enemy against God. You know why? Because it's producing doubt. It's producing unbelief. It's negating our faith. We're getting over into fear. You know why you don't give all? Because you're afraid you're going to run out. You want to keep your fingernails. You're afraid. You are afraid that if I give too much, I'll run out. You're not kingdom minded. You're not seeing your life as a life of a giver, and all you need is seed. Mm-hmm. All right, Mark chapter 10, verse 17. Sure gets quiet, but y'all ought to be shouting about this. Now, this is powerful stuff, okay? You have a heavenly account, and all you got to do is deposit, make deposits of the seed that you've sown every time you're led by the Spirit to give. Now, look at verse 17, Mark chapter 10. It says, "Now, as he was going out on the road, one came running, knelt before him, and asked him, 'Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?' Jesus said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, and that is God. You know the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and mother.'" In other words, he was saying, you know, keep these commandments, keep the law. Jesus didn't come to do away with the law. He came to fulfill it, right? Okay. And so, and look at this, verse 20. "And he answered and said to him, 'Teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth.'" He was very religious. Now, this is where a lot of the church is today. They're very religious. Yes, God will meet my needs according to his riches and glory. Amen. I'm greater than he in the world. And they can quote like a parrot. But they have no reality, see, of what they're saying, because they don't really believe what they're saying. Now don't shout me down. Okay? We're not here to be religious. How many times do I have to say that in one service? We're here to grab hold, lay hold on eternal life.
Amen.
Lay hold on what is yours through the purchase price that Jesus paid by his blood.
Amen.
All right. Now, it says, "Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him, and said to him, one thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have, and give to the poor, and you will have what? Treasure in heaven. Not when you get to heaven, but you will have treasure in heaven. In other words, you will be making a deposit in your heavenly account. And come, take up your cross, and follow me. Now, it's important that you see he's not talking about, oh yeah, I'll have all these rewards, and I'll have all these thank yous, and I'll have these crowns. You'll get crowns if you do good. But how many know you're not going to need gas money in heaven?
Amen.
You're not going to need rent money in heaven. Okay, now look at verse 20. Just drop down. Look at verse 30. I don't have time to read all this. It says, verse 29. And Jesus answered and said, surely I say to you, there is no one, everybody say no one, who has left house, our brothers, our sisters, our father, our mother, our wife, our children, our lands for my sake and the gospel, who shall not receive 100-fold now what? In this time. Who will not receive 100-fold right now in this time? Those who give, those who plant their seed, those who help preach the gospel, those who plant in the work of God. He said, you will receive. See, God was trying to manifest an abundant supply, 100-fold. 100-fold is stamped on your seed every time you do something in faith and you give to God. Now, in this life, now what I got to learn to do is withdraw it. Now, you see what happened here. I got to close this thing, but you see what happened. Go right back up there to verse, where's that? Right here, verse 22. He told him, go sell what you have, give to the poor, because there's a principle working here. You don't go and do that because you're afraid. This is the same thing that happened to the rich young ruler. Look what it says in verse 22. But he went away how? Come on, say sad. Say it again. Say it three times. Why? He was sad at his word. He went away sorrowful, for he had what? Great possessions. Or in other words, the possessions had him. See, that's why a lot of people, they can't come to a church like this. See, if Paul, I like what you said about, and I got to stop because my clock went out. Man. Let me read one more scripture, okay? Unless you want me to stop.
No.
One more. Just one more. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Some people like you when you're poor. But for some reason, you have many friends when you're rich.
Right.
Now, Paul had to minister to both sides. He had to minister, first of all, to those that didn't have any money but wanted it. So he had to show the danger, because a lot of you, you know, you want money bad. Most of the world wants money. Come on. So he had to get something across. He had to show them that if their pursuit was after money before it was after God, they were going to become corrupted. That's what he tells you in the 6th chapter of 1 Timothy. He said they fall into foolish and harmful lust, and they steer away from faith. And he went on to say, and the love of money, remember, is the root of all evil. So he had to establish those that didn't have any so that wouldn't be all that their focus was upon, to try to get some.
Amen.
And then you get down to the bottom of the chapter, he's dealing with those that had it.
Amen.
And he's got to deal with them, because people that have money are the ones that usually say, I don't need to go to church. I don't need anything. How many of you ever run across those kind of people? that have got everything materialistically, think they've got everything together. Now, their life's probably falling apart in some other areas because there are things that money can't buy, a lot of things. Okay, but let's read here. He said, command those who are what? Rich in this present age. I'm in verse 17. Not to be haughty, not to trust in uncertain riches. Now notice that, uncertain riches. Why are riches uncertain? Because money is not a sure thing. Money can take wings and it can fly away. Money cometh and money goeth. But the name of the Lord is to be praised. Amen. Amen? Because your source is not your paycheck. Your source is not your job. Your source is God. Your source comes from the kingdom of heaven. That's what he says. Don't trust in that which thieves can break in and steal. Inflation can come in and rob. Where moth and rust, you buy things, they're going to not be new after a while. So lay up for yourself where? Treasures in heaven. And he goes on to say, let them who are rich and learn to operate do good. That's what he says. Do good. For they'll be ready in good works. Ready what? To give. Right. See, you live to give. But God has to get you to a place. Now listen to me closely. If there's carnal people, they're not going to get this. But God has to get you to a place in your life where you can give it all.
Amen.
Where you can give it all. Just like he did with Abraham. He got him to a place where he said, Abraham, I want you to go up to this mountain and you sacrifice your son. Now, Hollywood can really destroy what the Bible says. They get Abraham screaming, hollering, oh, I'm going to kill Isaac. That is not what the Bible says. That's not what the Bible teaches. In fact, Hebrews says Abraham wanted to see what God was going to do. And he took Isaac and he started walking up with his servants. And he got off that donkey and he looked at those two servants. He said, I and the lad, we will be back.
Amen.
You didn't hear that.
Amen.
He was going up to make a sacrifice of his son on the, I mean, run a knife right through his heart and take him as a sacrifice for the Lord. He was willing to give it all for God.
Amen.
He said, don't worry, it'll be back. We'll be back. Every time you give an offering in there, don't worry, it'll be back. Every time you plant in there, oh, it'll be back. It'll be back. But see, God has to get us to that kind of place. If not, we'll be operating for the man, the wrong man in the system. You know, when we came in to the ministry years ago now, I was in business for 10 years. Let me just tell you this quickly. First 5 years, I mean, it was rare. It was double dog bad. Last 5 years, we started making it. And I got to a place where we were doing pretty good. Now, I don't want to say we came into the ministry broke, because I came in my late 20s. I came in and we had accumulated all this stuff. And we had gotten about $50,000 accumulated. That's what we had. Man, and back then, that was a lot of money. Well, that's a lot of money today, right? We started the ministry, and God says, I want you to give it all. Now, I had to get a revelation of that. Was I a man of God? Was I a man of faith? Was I going to trust God? Now, I've been trusting the system all this time. Or was I going to obey God? Well, you know what? Well, you know what? I chose to obey God.
Amen.
We promptly gave it all. Wrote a check for $49,000, whatever it was, for this property, this building, that's on. So, literally, I went into the ministry after the first week broke. Well, I was. I didn't have any I didn't have any material treasure. We didn't own our car. We didn't own our house. We had nothing that was paid for. We were living hand to mouth. But God.
Amen.
But God. See, I got a revelation of the heavenly account. Now look. Look where we are. Look where we've come to. See, what I'm trying to teach you is something that I caught a hold of a long time ago. You've got to lay hold on eternal life. You've got to fight the good fight of faith. Come on, somebody. You've got to stand and you've got to take what belongs to you and you've got to declare and release your angels to bring it in. Come on, somebody. Come on. Now look what God has done for us. He drives a new car. Yeah, but did they tell you we'd give away four? When you get a hold of this, you will start looking for things to give away. You will start looking for seed to plant. Come on! You'll start giving away your tie. You'll start giving away your shoes. You'll look for things, even if you can't use them, to plant. Because you believe this stuff is so real, and that's the way that God begins to meet all of your need according to His riches and glory. Because there's no shortage. Now stand up with me. My goodness, how long did I go? Come on, somebody. It's not what you think you can do. Hey, it's what God says you can do. We rented a building for the first year in the back of Burton's Auto that's not even there anymore because the building didn't meet code. And the first big rain we had, it fell in. Some of you remember that, okay? We sold things off to buy the chair. We only had about 10, 12 faithful people. Come on.
Amen.
But look what we got now. See, look what God has done to, for us, but look what God has done for you through us. Look at this building, this facility that is debt-free. That was able to be a blessing this week to hundreds of children. I don't want any glory for that. Hey, you know what? I want God to get all the glory. I just want to show you that this thing is not about being here only, because eventually you're going to have to act on what you're hearing. Either you believe this stuff or you don't. Now, I got in my office, and I hadn't showed you yet. I got a picture of a church. Beautiful place. Beautiful, big rendering. Never been built before, but it was in the mind of a builder and architect. And it's going to cost somewhere between $1.5 million and $2 million to build. Now, I had to stretch my faith to get here. But I'm going to have to stretch it to the max now. But you know what? I'm going to do it. Because I was looking at that and I heard a still small voice. You can do that.
Praise God.
You can do that. I said, I can do that, Lord. You can do that.
Praise God.
Lord, but you see what we got here. You can do that.
Praise God. Amen.
So you know what? We're going to do it.
Amen.
We're going to do it. I don't know how long it'll take. It took a long time to get all this, you know, because it took us a while to learn faith. It took us a long while to get out of our carnal thinking and get over into the thinking of God and letting God show us how that He could bless us. And many of you that's been here through the years have seen how God would either bring it in from within or bring it in without. So God is here, folks. God wants a church built to His glory because He wants to receive the glory. He wants people to drive by here and say, how'd they do that? How'd that bunch of people, that little handful of people there, you know, most of them, you know, hey, come on. See, but you're looking where you're at. You're living by your paycheck. Get off that. Come on, get off that. Now lift your hands up right now.